Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
And now into the damage control of the suddenly stumbling Herman Cain presidential bid and the charges by Cain of PR sabotage engineered by his rival, Texas Governor Rick Perry. All of this, of course, stems from those allegations that surfaced this week that presidential hopeful Herman Cain sexually assaulted two women back in the 1990s. And now a third woman and former employee has come forward with more on the recent political and personal troubles of Herman Cain. And to help us put them in context, we're joined now by Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico, and Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Maggie and Todd, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, John.
So, Maggie, remind us, you and Politico helped to break this story. Can you take us through the cycle to where it began and where we stand now?
Sure. We first reported Sunday night that Herman Cain had faced allegations in the 1990s by two women who worked at the National Restaurant Association of sexually inappropriate behavior. In some cases, gestures, in some cases comments, things that they perceived as over the line. Herman Cain's campaign had 10 days to respond to us, and they did not, and to, or at least not, in any detail, and to formulate their response. My colleague Jonathan Martin also approached Herman Cain on Sunday after he appeared on Face the Nation and tried to speak to him about this as well, and he didn't really offer a real response. So
yeah, that was a really comfortable moment. I saw some.
So I think that Mr. Cain has had a series of conflicting answers on this. On Monday, he said that, or his campaign said that the story was false. Were not true, and he then later, within hours, sort of acknowledged that there had been, one thing that he remembered from that period, and then he doesn't remember that there was a second accusation made against him, and even though it's been confirmed by other media outlets, and so now here we are. Yesterday, his campaign announced that they believed that this was sparked by an orchestrated smear campaign by Rick Perry's campaign. A Rick Perry spokesman denied that, as did a strategist who worked for Herman Cain in his 2003 candidacy for the Senate in Georgia, his 2004 candidacy, his 2004 cycle. The Perry campaign then pointed the finger at Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's campaign said that's also ridiculous, and now here we are.
Maggie Haberman, a senior political writer for Politico. We're also talking with the Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, who has chronicled, Todd, the flip-flops, or at least the ambiguous statements coming from Herman Cain himself and from the campaign. And, the language is all over the map here. Harassment allegations, confidentiality agreements, actual paid settlements at the National Restaurant Association by employees who apparently Cain was counting on their silence based on his understanding of these confidentiality deals. Where do we stand on the confidentiality issue, Todd Zwillick?
John, well, as the shoes drop and the campaign start to throw shoes at one another, one of the issues is when or if any of the alleged accusers would come forward and actually speak in the press on the record about what happened to them with Herman Cain, if any. Yesterday, in Maggie's papers and elsewhere, actually, there was one report in the New York Times that one of the accusers may be ready to come forward, was actually looking to get out from under her confidentiality agreement, which apparently was paid to the tune of $35,000, so that she could speak to the press until that was batted down and the woman's lawyer apparently said, no, she doesn't want to become an Anita Hill. We all remember Anita Hill from the
sure.
Clarence Thomas hearings. My client does not want to become an Anita Hill. She won't be talking. Then news of a third accuser against Herman Cain, this time in the Associated Press, with indications that that person may come forward, but the Associated Press also reported this person with no name attached, and we don't have one yet. So that person right now with the AP still has confidentiality. The only person who doesn't, well, there are a few people who don't, first and foremost, Herman Cain, and then the people that he's accusing, a former advisor, as Maggie said, and then people in Perry's campaign pointing at Mitt Romney, and then Mitt Romney spokespeople who don't want to have anonymity. They just don't want to deal with this story. They want to let Herman Cain buckle under it. They're all accusing each other, and those shoes are flying.
And indeed, the sort of recrimination theme of the GOP candidate field is not a new one. But help us to set this in context. We got a great text from one of our listeners the other day, Maggie and Todd, who said, hey, who thinks this is going to hurt Kane? Remember Bill Clinton and Jennifer Flowers and Paula and all that sort of thing. You know, you mentioned the Anita Hill comparison a moment ago, Todd Zwillick. Let me put this to Maggie Haberman, though, first. When you're kicking this around there at Politico, you know, how do you contextualize this? I mean, at the Bill Clinton allegations really came when there was a sense of weariness after the Clarence Thomas hearings and that whole fiasco. But is it really the case that Kane could survive an allegation like this, even if it became as public and vivid as the Bill Clinton stuff?
I think that what has hurt Herman Cain has been his conflicting answers on this and how his campaign has handled it, which is, or let me rephrase that, which is what has potentially hurt Herman Cain and I think has driven some of the coverage of it. That having been said, you know, a lot of Iowa voters have told various news outlets, including my colleague Reid Epstein, that this is not really that interesting to them, that they're willing to wait and see what else comes out. To describe it as taking a not interesting. It might be a bit of an overstatement, but they certainly are taking, in many cases, a wait-and-see attitude to see where this goes, to see what Herman Cain has to say about it. There's going to be a debate next week. I suspect this is going to be, at least at some point, a topic of conversation, especially with all those shoes flying, as was put a minute earlier. So I think it remains to be seen how this is going to impact Herman Cain. I think that to compare it to the Bill Clinton scandal will be, you know, it's a bit premature. I do think, you know, Dan Balz in the Washington Post had a column today in which he talked about how, you know, this at a minimum is just underscoring that the Herman Cain campaign has been struggling to address this issue.
Right.
And I think we've seen that.
Well, yeah, it's been his sort of follow-up at this point. The allegations are one thing, but his dealing with them is something quite different. Maggie Haberman, thanks so much. Senior political writer for Politico. And Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, why don't you take us out? Final thoughts, response there?
Yeah, John, you asked me about anonymity and who has it in this case. I'll tell you what has anonymity. How about the Democrats' political message? You know what we're not talking about? Democrats have a jobs vote on $60 billion worth of infrastructure and trying to put Republicans in a box today on the Senate floor. We're not talking about it. And nobody else is either, because this Herman Cain story has washed out the political conversation. Herman Cain, of course, in Washington these last couple of days. That's part of the amazing part of this. National Press Club. He was on Capitol Hill yesterday, all over Washington. One thing I will say for Herman Cain, he hasn't left the Beltway with all the swirling around. The press has gotten so many pecks at that guy over and over and over. And he's gotten a little bit frustrated with it, too. But I guarantee you, Democrats are frustrated because their political messaging strategy is getting completely drowned out by this.
But doesn't this help President Obama on some level in just looking at the overall sort of fallout from this?
You know, I don't know that anybody really still believes that Herman Cain is going to be the one running against President Obama.
Right.
Everyone still believes it's Romney. And in that context,
We'll see. It's sort of put on hold and you know, we'll wait until the nomination to really check in, which is what the electorate typically does. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. We also talk with Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico. Thanks, guys.
Pleasure.
And so if you want to join any conversation on the program, you know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. And if my language was sort of out of line there, sexual harassment allegations, not sexual assault allegations against Herman Cain. But you know the story, and we got you caught up there in that segment. We've been getting your take on the changing role of the U.S. government in global politics, international leaders coming together in Europe, everything dependent upon a crumbling government in Greece. What do you have to say about that? Jordan on Facebook says, we can no longer act with impunity and unilaterally without regard for the international community. But if we play our cards right, we still have the most hefty hand at the table when it comes to international relations. Do you agree? I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.